It's a great privilege for me to be here today. We are so excited to start this new year, and I want to give a warm welcome to you. And I also want to make an introduction myself of Dr. John Kalaga. You have just heard him, but some of you perhaps have not had an opportunity to meet him. Dr. Kalaga came to his new post as provost from Spring Arbor College in Michigan. He began on July the 1st and hit the ground running, and I think you've been running ever since. Is that right? We really are have been about a lot of things in the last few weeks, and we're so glad to have him here. He got his bachelor's, a BA in ministry from Spring Arbor College, his master's in organizational management from Michigan State, his PhD in higher education administration from Kansas State. Dr. Kalaga and his wife Lena and their four children have moved to Wilmore. They are settling into Wilmore, and we are so glad to have them with us. And so you make sure that you get to know him. You will want to do that. Well, a new year. As we begin this academic year, 2007, I had an alum that came to my house on Saturday. In fact, I knew she was coming, but she brought five other graduates with her. Was not expecting to see them, and they ranged in graduation years from being 3 years out as graduates to 20 years. And so one of the alumni asked me a question, are you going to start this academic year with academic convocation? And I said, oh yes, of course we are. And so they proceeded to have a conversation, some of them saying, why do we do academic conversation? Why do you faculty, why do you administrators wear these funny-looking gowns? And so I thought perhaps I should tell you why that we are celebrating today. This, in fact, is a celebration, and it's a way that we celebrate. We celebrate students welcoming you back to campus as we begin the year, but we also celebrate our faculty and honor our faculty and staff for their accomplishments. And so you will see in your program a list of just a few of the things, a few examples of excellence in teaching, research, and service by your faculty. And so this has been a long custom and tradition. Now, you will not find academic convocation on your holiday calendar, but it is a celebration for us today. And so we celebrate by wearing what has been the regalia, which is traditional. In fact, it dates all the way back to the 14th century. And so I said to the six alum, I said, why would we want to break a tradition that goes back to the 14th century? We don't want Asbury to be known for that. And so it comes out of an English tradition. Primarily, the faculty were clerics at that time, but they wore the long robes. And because the faculty were being honored and celebrated for their accomplishments, the faculty decided at some point that they should be recognized beyond just the long robe and being a faculty person, but to recognize their degree by the color of their hoods. And so what comes over the top of our gown is a hood, and the colors that are there are have two purposes. One, the color tells us the major. So pink, for example, if we should have some pinks here, pink is for music. Red or scarlet is for theology. Light blue is for education. And so all of our disciplines have a particular color of hood that we wear. And then we also have the colors on the back of our hood from the university or college where we graduated. So today is a celebration. And so it's just like having a Christmas tree in your house at Christmas. I'm going to have a Christmas tree only at Christmas time. So we celebrate these customs and traditions. They're an important part of who we are. And they help us to understand who we are as we look at our own culture. I want to address in our opening convocation the topic of faith. And I believe that faith is an important topic for us. You heard the references to Hebrews. Many of you would know Hebrews as 11 as the faith chapter. But then we also know that our faith does become sight. And so as we are beginning this year with much unknown, in fact, the unknown actually is an issue of life. The uncertainties, the mysteries, the mystiques, the unidentified parts of life, as we look forward, we are unable to see that. So all of us are facing the unknown. But there is a way for us to face that. And so we as Christians understand and know and live in the reality of the fact that we can walk in faith. And actually, faith is very powerful. In fact, those things that are unseen, that are the invisible, are many, many times more powerful than those things that are seen. I believe that's why in Matthew 6:6, Jesus said to his followers and to his disciples, he said, when you pray, go into a closet and close the door where no one can see you, because here you are invisible, you're the unseen, and I will make of this a powerful experience. And so we believe that faith is powerful, and I want us as an institution to walk in faith. I certainly am walking in faith, and I want to charge all of us to do that. I believe if we can understand the nature of faith, as illogical as it is, as unreasonable as it is to say to believe in something that's not seen, but I believe if we can begin to understand the nature of faith, that it will unlock for us the secret of walking through life with its uncertainties and being victorious at the same time. Freshmen, you certainly are arriving with many unknowns. In fact, I know a few of you had never even been on the campus before, but you took by faith that this would be the institution where you would come to spend your undergraduate days. And for many others as freshmen, you may have been here before, but there are still the uncertainties. Will I be happy to be here? Will I be able to thrive and to flourish as a student? Will I make good friends? What about the relationships? What about those that I left behind, my family and friends? So there's much uncertainty, and as we scan across, and by the way, congratulations, seniors, that you've moved to this side of the aisle now. I suspect that you seniors have a few uncertainties that you're dealing with. Job search, which will be coming soon, and many kinds of decisions about what your future will look like after May of this coming year. So we are called to a future that we cannot see. But I want to remind us that it is real, nevertheless. Though it is unseen, it is real. Now, some of the uncertainties and the levels of faith that are required for those uncertainties may be very evident to us. I was reminded, as I was praying over what I would share with you today, I was reminded of many times in which my faith has come through for me. But one example, I was in Vienna. I went on sabbatical there several years ago and taught at the International University in Vienna. And I had gone out to the Vienna Woods, which is a wonderful part of the Alpine area of Austria. And I'd spent the day there reading and writing and even taking a nap. It was a wonderful afternoon, but I realized that it was beginning to get dark and that I needed to head back to familiar territory. And as I started back to leave that area, I realized I was lost. I did not know my way. And so I was just praying to the Lord as I was walking. It's like, God, you're going to have to lead me out of here. I'm not certain where to go. And so as I was walking, I felt a tug on my right hand as evident and real to me in my heart and spirit. It was evident and real to me as if someone had been standing there. In fact, it even caused me to look to my right hand. And, of course, no one was there tugging at me. But I really felt the Lord saying, you're headed the wrong path. And I followed that tug and took a different path. And then that presence or that spirit left me. And so that was a place in which my faith was saying to me, God is speaking a word to me, and he's leading me out of perhaps what could have been danger for me. And I firmly believe that he led me out of the path of danger. And then there are other times in which we just have to step out in faith, and we really don't have a clue. It's like, okay, God, I've heard your word, or I hear the Holy Spirit leading me and calling me. I'm going to step out, but I have no clue why this is happening. And so sometimes it's a very evident stepping out in faith, and others, it may be less obvious. But when God says to us, believe, then he demands something of us. By its very definition, I have already said that faith is illogical and it's unreasonable. When Hebrews says that faith is the substance of something hoped for, but evidence of what's unseen, there's no tangible evidence, yet we are called to believe, to trust in the unseen. Consider the faith that was demanded of Noah. He was asked to build an ark to preserve his family and the animal species, and God told Noah that he would give the earth 120 years of mercy, but then he was going to send rain. Well, it's hard for us to even imagine preparing now for 120 years later. But even more difficult, if I had been Noah, would it be for me to step out in faith and build an ark when he had never even seen rain before? It had never rained on the earth. And so God is saying, I'm going to send rain and I'm going to destroy the entire earth. God was going to send this cataclysmic event, and Noah is called to trust in this unseen word. And as we know, he did. And so what happens with faith, and what's important for us in terms of a message of this, is that we must be obedient. Faith does demand something of us. It's not just to say in our heart, okay, I'm going to believe, I'm here by faith, but we have to be obedient to the word that God has given us as we move out in that faith. We could also consider Abraham. God said to Abraham, get up, go out, leave your country. And Abraham must have been somewhat like us, where we would say, okay, Lord, where? And God says, I'm not telling you, just go. Well, how much faith does that require to say, okay, I'll pack up my family and we will leave and we have no idea where we're going? Or consider when Jesus said to Mary, you're going to have a son and this is my son and he's going to be the Messiah. And you will care for him before he's born and will nurture him after he's born. Imagine the faith that that had to take for Mary. Or another example is in Matthew 14, Peter walking on water. It was interesting that Jesus was already walking on water, and so the disciples are in the boat, they're fishing, they see Jesus, they're not quite sure who it is, and he calls out to them, and Peter recognizes his voice. And so when he recognized his voice, he said, Jesus, if it's you, call me to walk on water, call me to come. And Jesus said, come. And Peter began walking on water. If Peter had not taken that risk, he would never have learned the meaning of faith. We are called to walk outside, to leave the ship, to risk our life. And yes, it does demand of us obedience. It demands risk. But as we do that, we learn our own weakness and the almighty power of God. As Peter began walking, and you know the story, but as he began walking, he looked away, took his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. And it's interesting because Jesus reached out his hand to catch him, and he will do that for us. And so when you're unknowns, those things that we're stepping out in faith for, we need to have the courage. We need to hear Jesus saying, come. We need to know, in fact, that it is the word of God that is calling us out. And we need to have the faith to step out in that, but we also need to have the confidence to know that in those unknown places and those things where we're called to do supernatural things, that Jesus is always there, ready with his hand to catch us. So yes, faith is demanding, but once we hear God's word, we are to obey it, with no other evidence, perhaps, that would direct us. It does not matter how big our obstacles may be. Doesn't matter how impossible our circumstances. On Friday evening, as I met many of the family and friends that brought our freshmen to campus, I heard some of your stories. I would love to hear all of your stories. Every one of you have a story. In every class, you all have stories of why you're here and how God has kept you here. But I heard some wonderful stories on Friday evening, and was thinking they would make the roll call of faith. Just if we were to write a modern day Hebrews 11, many of you would be the ones that would be written in that story. You are the heroes and heroines of those that stepped out in faith. Stepping out in faith, leaving the life that you've left behind. Some of you have come long distances to be here, all the way from Bangladesh and from France and from Korea and China. And all the way from Wilmore, Kentucky, you've stepped out in faith. And so you're leaving a life behind, and there are uncertainties there. Perhaps you've left family and loved ones that are in struggles with illnesses, with certain things and burdens that they may be carrying, and so you're leaving that behind. You need to have faith that God is watching over them as he is you. There's also the stepping out in faith for the here and now, for us getting through this day and through this week. And there's also the need for us to have faith for the future. So we have many questions. But God is in all of those, the life we've left behind, the here and now, and our future. God has given us everything that we need to meet the call that he's placed before us. He's going to stand on his word. He says that my promises are yes and amen to all who believe. So rest on my word, believe in it, and obey it. I believe that God is wanting to raise up a generation of people who believe. He's wanting to raise up a generation of people who truly have faith. It would be those that truly have faith and believe, that believe they can walk on water if Jesus calls them, that will believe for building the ark, that will believe for leaving their country not knowing where they're going. I believe that God wants to raise up a generation of us who have strong faith. And I believe that he wants it for you and where you're headed, and I believe he also wants it for this institution. It's one of the reasons that I've selected as my theme going into this year that we are informed by the past. We honor and revere the past, and we are thankful for the past of this college. But I believe that God is calling us on. He's calling us forward, and he has a new place for us to go in this academic year and the years ahead. And so he needs a generation of people that are confident in him and are willing to step out in faith in the places where he would call us. Faith is saying God has given me a promise, and I'm going to live by that promise. If our faith is sure, if it is strong, if we are fully released to his purposes for us, then we move from the position of faith to reality. And in fact, we even begin to see within our hearts, with our spiritual eyes, before we have evidence of what is real or revealed. Or in some cases, we may not even see the evidence. In the example that I gave when I was walking in the Vienna woods, I really do not know why that I felt tugged and nudged to take a different course of my path. I do not know what was there, but with my spiritual eyes and my discerning heart, I knew that there was something that was there that God was protecting me from. And so that was reality for me, from faith to reality. And it's wonderful that God has given us spiritual sensitivity, spiritual eyes to see, spiritual ears to hear, because we begin to experience the reality even before we have the evidence of it before us. But I do need to caution us, because oftentimes in the uncertainty of what's ahead, we begin developing our own ideal or expectation of what is to come. Some of you may have mapped out your future. You may have your future clearly in mind. But I would like to encourage you to be open to God's taking you on a path that may be quite unlike what you have imagined. My experience with the Lord is that his ways are always higher and better than my ways. And so if he had allowed me to go my way, then it would have been something less than his best for me. And so, yes, we do think together, we pray, we talk, we vision, we imagine, but ultimately we need to surrender where we're headed to the path that God would call for us. For centuries, the Jews had looked for a Messiah to come. In fact, they're still looking for a Messiah because they had their own idea as to what the Messiah should look like. They believed that Israel's Savior would be a king, that he would come in majesty and that he would come in power and that he would set up rule in Jerusalem, that he would be a mighty deliverer and that he would have a commanding, invincible army along with him, and that it would be through his human strength and his commanding army that he would break the yoke that Rome had placed on Israel's neck, that he would overthrow every other power on the face of the earth. So is this how Messiah arrived? No, we know it is not. He was born in a stable of all places. Jesus did not announce his lordship with a mighty army. He showed up with just 12 uneducated working class disciples. They were fishermen. This carpenter's son taught in the deserts and along the seashores. His audiences were made up of widows, lepers, prostitutes, and he was telling them all, I am God in the flesh. Believe in me. And it was difficult for them to believe in him because he was not the Messiah. He did not come as king the way that they envisioned him. And so you see, if we've already developed our ways in which we tell God, okay, this is how you can plan my future. Here's what I want. Basically, what we say is, God, this is my plan. I'd like you to stamp it. I'd like your stamp of approval. But I want to encourage us to be open to the way that God would lead us. Really, faith comes down to one issue, and that is trusting in God's lead, trusting in his word. We are living in a time of the greatest gospel revelation in all of history. There are more preachers. There are more books. There's more gospel media saturation than ever before. Yet there is still a great lack of faith. Faith comes by trusting in God's word. Now, it may be from the written word, from his scripture, which through the revelation of the Holy Spirit becomes living word to us. It may be in the written word, or it may be by revelation of the Holy Spirit himself. Faith will not come by logic or reason. It comes by hearing from God himself. I want to urge you now to hear it, to trust it, to obey it, and also to rest in faith. There's oftentimes an anxiety, a restlessness, a weariness, a stress that can come upon us. And if we would step back and trust and walk in faith, that will often take care of our lack of rest. Begin this semester, if you are not already, walking in faith, knowing, trusting, believing that he who called is able to bring it to pass. Seniors, God has called you, and he's led you. He's allowed you to be here at this time. And so his word tells us that he would not bring you this far to let you down later, that he who has called will equip. And so many of you may not know where you're headed after mid-May, but God will lead. You need to be seeking his direction and discernment and trust in him to lead you to that place. Let me say just a few words about how to grow our faith. Faith is a free gift. God just gives it to us in his great goodness and love for us because he wants us to rest in faith. He wants us to walk in faith. But we have to get to him to be able to walk in that faith. And I want to give you a few tips of what you might do. The first thing I want to suggest is that you concentrate on what you do know, not what you do not know. This has been very helpful to me, and it is helpful to me today. In fact, I have, Ken and I, my husband and I, are seeking God's direction in prayer as we are struggling with an extended family member who is in a great crisis at the moment. And so there are those moments. Yesterday I got a call, and it was the moment when I just thought, God, I think I'm just going to sit down and cry. I mean, I became very weary of it, but then I immediately said, no, I'm walking in faith. I am trusting that God knows this person better than we do. God loves him more than I do. God knows what is needed more than I do. And so I'm going to pray in faith, believing that God will open the eyes, peel back the layers of the blindedness of his eyes and open his heart. And so I'm choosing to walk in what I do know. I do not know what may come of the bad choices that this family member has made. I do not know what the future may be, but there's much that I do know. And I know that God is good, that he is love, that he cares, that he's watching, that he never takes his eyes off of us. And so if we look at our difficult circumstances and think, yeah, there may be this unknown that I don't know, but I tell you what I do know is much larger and greater than what I do not know. So concentrate on what you do know rather than what you do not know. The second thing is to soak in God's word. I've mentioned that it is powerful, but it is a shield. God's word is a spiritual weapon. And so go to his word and soak in it. And if you don't know any place else to go, go to the Psalms. I can always go to Psalms and find God's encouraging words for me there. And so go to his word. Let it bathe your heart and spirit. I would encourage you to spend at least 30 minutes alone with God each day. It would be wonderful to do more, but at least 30 minutes alone. And I'm talking about being in solitude with him, to allow him to love you. We want to worship God. We do worship God. We love him. We thank him. We sing praises to him. But do you know that God wants to pour his love out on you? And if all that we know is that we are loving God, and if we are not receiving His love back in our own spirit, then we will not have the empowerment to walk out in faith. So spend time alone with God each day to allow Him to love you. Call upon His name during the day. As you're walking across the sidewalk, as you're walking to class, as you are flipping through your textbooks, call upon the name of Jesus. And just His name is a spiritual weapon also. And so that helps to keep us connected with Him. I want to encourage you to be in a discipleship group, a mentoring group, a Bible study group, accountability group, in community. And so that's another way that your faith can be grown. And finally, I would suggest that this open altar is a wonderful place to come for your faith to be challenged, to be grown, to be tested, and to be surrendered. Asbury College really sees this open altar as a symbol of who we are. It's here at this altar that we are often confronted with our own condition, our nothingness but His everything, our weakness but His strength, our imperfection but His perfection. And so when we come to this open altar, we vanish as individuals with our own imperfections, but we find ourselves again in God, which brings back new strength and light for us to be of service to others. And so I want to encourage you throughout this year to come to this altar often. It is a place of surrender. It is a place to thank God. It is a place to pour out your love on Him. It's a place to allow Him to pour His love out on you. It's a place to come to bring your family and friends. It's a place to give Him your burden. In fact, we need to all be finding ourselves at a place of altar each day before Him. His altar is always open. And this is not the only altar on campus. In fact, we need to be carrying an altar in our heart that we can go to that at any time. But there is something wonderful about coming in community and corporately to this open altar. And so I encourage you to see this as a place where you can just come and be with God. It is not just a place, although it certainly is this, it's not just a place to come to confess your sins or to give your life to Him. But it's a place to be in conversation and community with Him. So, are you willing to step out of the ship as Peter did? Symbolically, we can say that we are on the ship now because we are at Asbury College. By being here at this time, we are on the ship. But our being here by itself does not suggest we will be all that God has called us to be. We must step out of the ship. And that's the area that requires faith. Faith is a free gift, but we've got to get out of the ship. Otherwise, we cannot lay hold of faith. Is your faith large enough to carry you forward in peace and confidence, as demonstrated by Noah, Abraham, Mary, Peter, and many others you could think of today? So let me close with this question. What is it that you can trust God for today? Let us pray. Jesus, we thank You that You are everything that we need. Anything that I lack, You are. We thank You that You have our best interest in mind, that You desire the best for us. I thank You, Lord, that You have a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Thank You for those that You've brought together, for all of us, for the faculty that are here behind me, Lord. We do celebrate them today. I thank You for our faculty, for the great sacrifices that they make, the way that they teach all of us, what it means in their stepping out in faith. And so I thank You, Lord, for those that are here, our faculty, our staff, our administration, and our students. And we do ask, Lord, that You would grow our faith. May we be this generation that You want to raise up that is walking more strongly in faith than we ever have. And may we approach what You've called us to do here on this campus in this year in a way that walks out in faith, because we are a people that trust that we can hear from You and we desire to be obedient into following where You would call us. And so, Lord, we do commit this day. We do celebrate this day. This is a day of celebration, and we commit it to You. And we pray these things, Lord Jesus, in Your holy, wonderful name, whose we are and whom we serve. Amen.